years and over. We recommend the use of the parental lockout system.
Yeah, I can get him even bigger than this. I can get him even bigger. Okay, a little bit of sweat's coming on now. But boom, like that, bam.
This is the story of the biggest muscles in the world. How they keep getting bigger and why people want them.
This is Luke Skywalker in 1980. And here is Luke Skywalker 16 years later in 1996. Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker, was said to have remarked, "Good God, they've put me on steroids."
People say it isn't addictive. It absolutely is absolutely addictive.
There's nothing more satisfying than being the best. And that means taking lots of steroids, lots of tablets. To me, it's worth it.
We all do it, but you've got to go through the back door.
Dude, I trained 23 years natural without taking steroids. But when you take steroids, it makes your body more of a machine. You're bigger, you're faster, you're stronger.
It's also about what happens when things go wrong.
Look, it's really fucking gross. It just sinks in like a balloon filled with water.
Greg Valentino is in the Guinness Book of Records for having the world's biggest biceps. If you have a 28-inch waist, Greg's arms are bigger than you are.
How you doing? I'm Greg Valentino, and I have the biggest arms in the world. No bullshit. I've been training 28 years, and I earn these babies.
Greg Valentino use steroids to build an extraordinary body for one reason.
I'm 5'5½", you know, with a lump on my head, maybe 5'6". I definitely have Napoleon complex, without a doubt, I definitely do. I don't like being short. I guess it's when you're a big man in a little man's body, you know what I mean? I just felt like, I like the feeling of walking into a place like a club or something, you know, and you just, it's like, everybody's like, yo, what's up? You know, they come running over to you. I just like the attention.
So Greg Valentino began a 30-year bodybuilding journey.
At first, I was very, I felt self-conscious about it. Then as I got older, I realized, man, this is getting me attention. And then you equate bigness and builtness with, it's respect, you know, you get respect. The big kid in school, the real built guy, always like, yo, don't fuck with him, don't mess with him, you know?
Ultimately, though, after two decades, being simply huge was not enough.
Flex him.
So 5'5" Greg decided to go wide.
Dude, I trained 23 years natural without taking steroids. But when it came to the point where I was at the brink, at that level, I'm either going to take it and take myself to the next level. Is it worth it or not? The small man thing took over me, and I just felt like I have to get bigger. I have to, and that drive brought me to, you know, just do whatever it took. And in that case, I had to make a decision one day, and that's when I decided I'm gonna juice my mind out.
In the 21st century, the male physique is being taken to ever greater extremes. But how? It's been called the era of the super freak. But most bodybuilders won't even talk about the performance-enhancing temptations of a brutal training regime. This is the world of competitive bodybuilding. Dave Talbot has been training for 15 months for one night's competition. It's the most extreme training regime there is.
I'm in the gym, 5 o'clock every morning, training for 2.5 hours, home, breakfast, little boy to school, back to the gym, and again, the same again, another 2.5 hours. I consume 7, 8, 9, 10,000 calories a day. Breakfast, I'd have sort of like 200 grams of oats, 20 scrambled eggs. 2 hours later, 2 chicken breasts and rice. Then I'd have another protein shake. Then I'd train. another protein shake, then I'd have some steak and potatoes. Oi. Then I'd have another tuna and pasta. Oi. And then I'd have another 15 eggs before I went to bed. Early to bed every night, religious dieting, 24/7, 7 days a week.
This is a hardcore world. After months of consuming 12,000 calories a day, four times the daily intake of an average man, competitive bodybuilders often dehydrate themselves the week before the show to give maximum muscle definition.
The adrenaline's flowing, you know, you put so much effort into it, you know, it's all down to stepping out on stage and turning square onto the judges and it's all over.
But the competitors' excruciating preparation means that although they look their strongest, they are actually at their weakest. Within a few minutes of being on stage, Dave will know if his 15 months of agony and effort has been worthwhile.
In fourth place, Dave Talbot.
Fourth is tough when the effort has been that monumental. Greg Valentino believes the petition. There's only one way to come first.
Football guys are bigger, stronger, faster. They're like machines. They can keep going. It's not just some fat guy wearing a football uniform anymore. You know what I mean? Well, you can't move him off the front line. He'll outrun you. He'll jump over you. Look at these wrestlers. Look at professional wrestlers. You got guys 350 pounds jumping off a rope, flying through the air like a bird. Is that because the human being has evolved? No. It's because performance enhances. These guys are machines, and that's what steroids do. They make you a machine.
Greg Valentino is the result of this hardcore steroid use. In America, he's a minor celebrity, a curiosity who's crossed over from the extreme bodybuilding scene to the fringes of the mainstream. A freakish cult figure. Using his extraordinary drugged-up arms, Greg made a fortune from selling the evidence of their success in his own training videos. But his body paid the price.
The bigger you get, you know, and the cockier you get, and, you know, you start thinking you're Teflon, and, you know, that's what happens.
At the height of his fame, the arms Greg pumped up were about to let him down. We live in the era of the so-called super freak. Physiques seemingly beyond the body's capability. Greg Valentino pushed his body to an extreme that some people might think laughable. But is there something else going on?
Bigorexia is a term that was actually coined by bodybuilders themselves, and I adopted it from them. And what it refers to is sort of a reverse case of anorexia nervosa.
Dr. Harrison Pope is the world's leading authority on male body image issues. His two decades of research have produced startling new revelations.
I believe, and we have written about this in our scientific papers, that bigorexia, or what we call technically muscle dysmorphia, is a sort of obsessive compulsive disorder. It seems to me that this phenomenon of bigorexia is particularly prevalent in guys who get into competitive bodybuilding and use anabolic steroids. These are guys who will be very large and muscular, but who look at themselves in the mirror and still think that they look too small or too wimpy. I was talking to my young daughter who was working at the computer one night, and I said, well, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm doing my Barbie project. And I said, well, what is your Barbie project? And she said, well, if Barbie were the height of an adult woman, she'd have a 16-inch waist, and that's why women are all preoccupied that they're not thin enough. And so it occurred to me that there might be an equivalent of that for men. So here is vintage G.I. Joe. This is G.I. Joe from the 1960s when he first came on the market. You know, perfectly normal-looking guy. And then here is G.I. Joe from the 1990s, who, as you can see, has now been spending serious time at the gym, has a full six-pack of abdominals, 16.5-inch arms, and even a slightly mean expression on his face. So that these, I think, are a testimony to the sort of increasing emphasis on male body image that has happened over this span of time. And it's not confined just to G.I. Joe either. Take a look, for example, at Luke Skywalker. This is Luke Skywalker at the time that the original Star Wars movie came out in 1980. And here, by comparison, is Luke Skywalker when Star Wars was reissued 16 years later in 1996. And it's even said anecdotally that Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker, upon picking up the 1996 version of himself, was said to have remarked, "Good God, they've put me on steroids."
What started this obsession with fantasy physiques? In the 1970s, bodybuilding became red hot, and the world began to see bodies they had never seen before.
Let's go. Come on, get that pumping. Remember, time is muscle. Come on, girl. Let's go, let's do it. Do it. Okay. Do it. Again and again.
Steve Mihalik won just about everything in the American bodybuilding scene. He doesn't claim to have kick-started the phenomenon, but knows who did.
The turning point in all of bodybuilding was one word and one word only, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger changed bodybuilding and made it prominent. Why? Because not only did Arnold have muscles, but he had personality. He was, you know, he was funny, he was friendly. He had that star quality, which brought attention to him and then thus brought attention to us.
These were the Beatles of the beefcake world. Steve was one of the few people to beat Arnie on stage, and he saw the storm created around him. Their rock-hard bodies gave them rock star lives.
Well, it was kind of a fun time, brings a smile to my face. There were those groupies. We would travel around the country, especially in the Grand Prix tours. We would travel around the different states and stuff and do the Grand Prix contest, and there'd be new fans and groupies in every state. Not unlike with rock stars. I mean, it was pretty incredible. I've had my exciting times. Of course, my wife knows none of that, so I'm not going to say too much about it.
Their bodies became Hollywood fantasies that echoed through the years. Today, young men still want that glamour and those muscles.
He was obsessed with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I want to see the world, want to experience things, and bodybuilding's my ticket to that.
Joe Middleton worships at the shrine of Steve and Arnie. While other boys dream of playing in the Premiership or starting a band, Joe thinks his ticket to fame and fortune is extreme muscle.
My dream is to be the Mr. Olympia, to stand up on that stage, to get the medal, and to be proclaimed as the best in the world. And it's all related to what Arnold Schwarzenegger has done with his life.
Joe's chosen a tough teenage life.
My personal and social life has suffered. Since I left school, I haven't really kept in contact with anyone from school. So yeah, you know, become more of a loner in that respect. But in my eyes, it's all gonna pay off and it will be worth it.
When he got to secondary school and he had a hard time, I think there was quite a lot of bullying at school and people trying to drag him down the wrong path.
You know, when I close my eyes at night, my dream is to be on top of the bodybuilding stage is the best. I also, you know, would love to go into acting just as Arnold done. And then, you know, maybe politics, I don't know.
Joe wants to follow in Arnie and Steve's footsteps. But he might not realise his heroes had some help. When Arnold Schwarzenegger and Steve Mihalik found the competitive bar getting higher, they turned to steroids.
I got two choices. You can do 100 knee squats, or you can stick steroid needles in your butt. Let's see who quits. I won 22 titles, including Mr. USA, Most Muscle Man USA, and Mr. America, absolutely clean. No steroids, okay? And a friend of mine said, come on over to Europe and why don't you come over and just take a look at the guys and spend some time in Europe. So I spent some time in Europe, and he convinced me to take some steroids against my better judgment. you know, a time of weakness. He says, listen, you trained so hard. He says, imagine what you'd look like if you took steroids the way you train. I says, well, I don't know. I never did this before. He says, yeah, just try a little bit. See, there's the mistake. There's no little bit. That's the problem with this stuff. People say it isn't addictive. It absolutely is absolutely addictive. You all did this. But to speak to our defense, not that it was right or wrong, we were given this stuff basically by doctors back then who didn't know that there was any harsh side effects or anything. And we basically were being used for guinea pigs.
Today, doctors don't issue steroids to sportsmen and women. But usage has risen enormously as young hopefuls face increasing pressure and temptations.
If it was in front of you, and you were going to be a pro baseball player. Now, I don't know about soccer in Europe, but in baseball, you got guys making $20 million a year. If you had a son, and your son says, Dad, they're scouting me. They want me. They want to sign me. But you know what? They're telling me I got to get bigger, stronger, faster. I got to take a little something, Dad. I got to take something. What do you say to your kid? Would you rather have your kid on heroin? Would you rather have your kid on performance enhancer steroids?
The idea of giving your child steroids may seem bizarre, but back in England, one parent has done just that.
And he came to me and said, look, Dad, if I do decide to go for this show, I am going to use the gear, so I'm asking you, what should I use? I ain't going to turn my son down knowing full well that he could have gone the other way.
In the north of England, Mick Hart has established himself as the unofficial voice of steroid use. He produces a controversial pro-steroid magazine, banned on the high street, but still scoring 6,000 readers.
Good afternoon, Mick Hart training.
He's revered and reviled in equal measure. For some, he's an advice centre. For others, he's a dangerous presence.
There's many ways that you can sort of, that I know you can test them and stuff like that, but really, you didn't ought to be buying stuff you're not sure about.
Your mate, where's your mate jabbing? In his arms?
Right. And his arms aren't any bigger? No, of course, sorry, mate. Then I'm doing my job, then. The noble's supposed to shock you, man. So if anybody's jabbing in their arms, why on earth, then? Why the fucking hell should you be jabbing in your arse expecting your arms to get bigger, but your arse is not getting bigger?
They know that they can rely on me to tell them the truth, or as the truth is as close as I can get it. They like the fact that they can ask the question. They like the fact that they've got somebody there who they can turn to. And I'm proud of that.
Ta-da, mate. Bye.
All the scare stories and side effects, the problems and hair losses and skin problems and aggression are all... Are all done by over-abuse, over-usage, as it were.
Mick's so sure of his own knowledge that he was happy to guide his son, Chris, on a steroid experiment.
You go beyond yourself, I suppose, in your training, that's when it really bites. I think if I actually start to eat a little bit better and put a bit more structure towards my training routine itself, I'll be able to progress a little bit further. When you start to see the next few more gains, you think, maybe I could do a little bit more with this. And having the added advantage of a father like I've got, having that knowledge, that backup, you know, there was really no reason why I shouldn't have seen how far I could get going as far as competitive bodybuilding.
Mick's regime was so successful that Chris went from this to this in the space of a year. His success story was published in the Chris Report, which became an underground hit.
The report covers all aspects of my complete training program in preparing for my first competition. And includes details of the nutrition and, of course, the steroid cycles that I use.
Because I was his son, and the fact that anabolic steroids was used in the progression, you know, of competing, that he wanted to get down in words, the fact that, hold on, yeah, my son has been using gear, and I have advised him on how to use this, but we did it for this reason, this reason, this reason, and this was the result.
Chris Hart got results quickly. But at what price?
The short-term medical problems with steroids are relatively modest, and that is one of the reasons that people are tempted to use them. Certainly, there are some guys who get acne. There can be, in some cases, growth of female breast tissue. Most guys who use these drugs don't notice much of anything in the way of short-term effects. And of course, the long-term effects are rarely a consideration because if you're an 18-year-old who wants to look bigger and more muscular next month, you're not going to be worrying about whether you're going to get a heart attack when you're 60.
If even small doses of steroids can create long-term problems, what happens when extreme doses are involved? Greg Valentino was about to find out.
Anything in excess is going to cause side effects. And of course, there's not a bodybuilder on this planet who has not had some sort of side effects from taking steroids, even some supplements. You know what I mean? It could be something simple as in taking a protein powder and having, you know, shitting every 5 minutes, you know, blasting farts all day. And you know what I mean? Have you ever been around a guy that lifts weights? You're like, dude, you know, every 5 minutes you're smelling, you know, rotten ass. And that's because, you know, he's blowing his ass up, you know, from taking all the supplements. Well, that's a small side effect. When you're taking steroids, you get big side effects. And I had big side effects.
After years of steroid injections, Greg's bicep was fighting back.
I had tons of, you know, needles, you know, syringes, needles, the whole bit. And I'm over there reusing needles, dropping the damn thing on the floor, blowing it off, wiping it off, and then you stick that in you, and you get infections, you know? And that's what happened. I wound up getting an infection, and when I got the infection, it starts off, you get a bad fever, the area gets red, soft, pussy. It was like a giant zit in there. It was just loaded with pus. And if you don't do something about it, you can wind up in a hospital and kill yourself, you know what I mean? It could kill you.
Greg knew he was in serious trouble, so he decided to operate on himself.
What you're watching is I had a hematoma in my arm, and I'm draining the blood. Now look, here you got the needle. Look, it's going right into the bicep. Now look, now it's hanging out of the bicep. And this film was like friggin' 15, 20 minutes of just constant pulling shit out. Look at that. I'm filling up whole syringes and I just keep going and going and going. Look, you can see the needle is starting to bend. Oh man. I love it though. It's fucked up. It almost looks like a murder scene. There's blood all over the floor. There's blood everywhere. It's really fucking gross. It just sinks in like a balloon filled with water. Look at the chunks of shit in there. It was fucked up.
Greg's home surgery didn't work. After 20 minutes of self-mutilation and two tumblers of coagulated blood, Greg ended up in emergency surgery.
I deserved it. I was an idiot, you know?
His beautiful, world-beating bicep was hacked to pieces.
You see the difference? Look, that arm's round. That arm's not. You see, when he cut it, you see the cut? When he cut that, went in, forms a scar. That's a scar. I gotta get that taken care of. I'm totally self-conscious about that, you know?
Steroids had destroyed Greg Valentino's body. He thought things couldn't get any worse. But they did. Greg Valentino took so many steroids, his body finally fought back. His bicep exploded. But his health wasn't the only problem. In the era of the so-called super freak, to build unnatural muscles, you need unnatural chemicals, steroids. And dealing them is another symptom of their use.
This is a bold statement now, that there's not a pro bodybuilder on this planet or a guy that takes steroids who hasn't sold steroids either. They may not be heavy-duty drug dealers, but I can't imagine any bodybuilder who trains in a gym who takes steroids, especially on a regular basis, who hasn't at least sold a bottle or two to his friends or to other guys in a gym. That's how it starts, you know.
In the UK, steroids are the most popular drug after ecstasy and cannabis.
There's money to be made. I say the big names have lots of money. and they're still earning lots of money. So you just don't, you know, you don't step on their toes. And if you do it in big quantities, you know, you might only make a small amount of money, but if you're doing a lorry load of it, probably become a multi-millionaire out of it.
And Greg Valentino did.
What happened was, you know, I started out very small with the steroid thing, and it just escalated. And as it escalated, you know, I got bigger, not just body-wise, but, you know, selling the steroids and in the business, in the drug dealing business, and we were big. You know, I was up there.
The U.S. policy towards steroids is zero tolerance. Their use and sale is illegal, driving the steroid trade underground.
In the sport of bodybuilding, I mean, it's drugs. You're dealing drugs, so you got to deal with shady people. And, you know, there's going to be, wherever there's steroids, there's usually other drugs too. I mean, I could give you a million stories. There's a guy doing time in jail right now, and he fronted us like $30,000 worth of stuff, and we got robbed. Well, he took it out on us, you know, he wanted his money. He brought us to a parking lot over by Yankee Stadium, and he had us get on our friggin' knees and give us a reason why he shouldn't kill us. And a couple weeks later, the same guy that held the gun to our head was arrested for triple murder down in Florida. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, these are the kind of guys you're dealing with, you know, then they don't fucking play around.
Before steroids, Greg was married for 10 years with two kids, but his underworld lifestyle soon replaced the regular family man.
Here you are, I was a married man. I'm not gonna lie to you, I was cheating on my wife. I was living a drug dealing lifestyle. That's what happens. You're out there, you're making money, you're living at night, you're in the clubs.
Greg began an affair with a woman named Julissa. When his wife kicked him out, they became partners in crime.
She was rough. She was in prison 11 times. She was an ex-heroin addict. She was Puerto Rican. She knew how to speak Spanish, and I had just started dealing with the Latin street gangs and stuff.
But the steroid dealing trade was getting ever more dangerous.
As soon as I get upstairs, guy comes jumping out of a closet with a shotgun. And the guy's holding the gun to me like this, and he tells me, give me the fucking money. And you're talking about, I don't remember the exact, I had like 15 or 20,000, I had a lot of money on me. So I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he cracks me across the head, bam! You know, now I'm bleeding, you know, and I hit the ground. And about 30 seconds later, I just heard a scream, and then a bang. And I see the shotgun guy literally almost falls into my lap. And the gun falls right into my lap, you know, the shotgun falls right into my lap. And what it was Julissa came in the room and shot the guy in the ass. If she didn't come in that room with guns blazing, I don't know if I'd be sitting here today. You know, the bottom line is, she saved my ass because those guys would have killed me.
But Julissa, a drug addict, died of an overdose on the 10th of September, 2000. Things were unraveling, and Greg's luck was about to run out completely.
I had been selling drugs for years, man, and you always heard that you're being watched, you know, you gotta watch what you do. So I didn't really, you know, I figured, oh, man, I've been hearing that for the longest time. You know, I didn't think that, you know, that anything would happen. I'm in the gym this one particular night, and I'm with a friend, and we're in the back room of the gym, you know, the locker room. And as I come out, I hear a banging on the door. And I'm like, oh man, it must be one of my friends that forgot something, you know? And sure enough, I open up the door and a swarm of cops come piling in.
Massive amount of illegal steroids. News 12 Westchester's Rob Boyle reports it appears the man wasn't just selling them.
One look at Gregory Valentino's arms and you know something's going on. The 40-year-old is charged with criminal possession of anabolic steroids with intent to sell. Police say they found $75,000 worth of the illegal muscle-building drugs at his home and at the Powerhouse Gym in Yorktown where Valentino is a part owner.
My arrest was headline news. I mean, you know, I paid the price for being a big player too. I lost everything I had, from my cars to my family, my house, my all my money, my bank, everything, my gym. I owned, you know, a health club. They took the whole health club. Look, I'm working out here in this basement. That's what happens. You're sitting in a jail cell saying, how the fuck did I wind up here? yesterday I'm walking around, and then the next minute, you got no money left, your car's, the cops are driving around in your car, your ex-wife's got some guy in the bed saying, man, he, with your money, they're living off your money, and you're sitting in a jail cell with a bunch of momos asking you, you gonna eat that corn? Dude, eat it. I can't eat. I'm ready. I'm thinking of ways to jump off the top balcony and kill myself.
Greg had paid the price for his steroid obsession. Steroids are in demand in America and Britain, but in the UK, the law differs. They're illegal to deal, but legal to possess, and relatively easy to import into the country.
Come through customs, you get stopped. Personal use. You're allowed, I'm not sure what the limit is. Last time I went, it was 125 quid worth of stuff you're allowed to bring back for yourself. I bought back 10 grand's worth, in a suitcase. It's amazing what you can get in a suitcase. Can't lift it, but it's, and just pay the tax on it. That's all they, it was for me, it's all for me. They have to prove it's not for you,
This supply feeds a thriving market. An estimated 20% of those using gyms in the UK have used steroids. Art has become a self-appointed drug expert for the bodybuilding scene.
I don't really, I don't call myself a steroid expert. Everybody else does that. I'm an experienced steroid user who's called a steroid expert. I'm called a steroid guru, if I could spell it. The side effects and the problems that people know about more or less in general kick in through lack of knowledge. It's that knowledge that people want. That's the reason why I do what I do.
Mick Hart has built a business road testing bodybuilding drugs and reporting back to his readers. But the self-appointed guru was to meet his downfall.
It arrived to me on my desk in a small tub. Mick, check this out. Or rather, what do you think? Have you heard about this? What do you think about it? Never heard about it. Did a bit of research on it, phoned a mate of mine up. He says, take it 20 minutes before you go to bed. It'll knock the fat off you. So I'm thinking, well, I was a chief correspondent, so I've got to write about this, I've got to type about this. The dosage was a tiny, tiny little bit on the end of a teaspoon. And I tried this. Boom. I felt such a buzz. The fat dropped off me. Absolutely dropped off me. Wow, this is good. So I went from a tiny, tiny little bit on a teaspoon. That would be a tub. I was eating two tubs a day. Two tubs a day. In that time, I fell asleep in my car, nearly killed people at the bus stop, fell flat on my face, smashed all my face in, had to physically pull out 7, 12 of my own teeth. I'd made the ultimate mistake. Being classed as a helper and a guide, I'd fallen full flat into this myself.
The drug Mick thought was for fat loss was in fact GHB, otherwise known as liquid ecstasy. Once again, Mick put pen to paper, this time to write another underground bestseller about his GHB hell in tears on a keyboard. The man who was prepared to take anything on the supplement black market was about to hit rock bottom. In June 2005, Mick Hart suffered a massive heart attack.
I gets into hospital and the doctor, I said to the doctor, look, he asked me, did I ever take steroids? Yes, but not last year, only last year. And he started giving me the, well, this is what you get. No disrespect, doc. You do your tests on me now, you do your test. It wasn't steroids that even did, the heart attack was not induced by steroids. The heart attack was being out of shape, too much stress, maybe the odd beer too much. Starting work at, say, 6 o'clock in the morning, getting home at 7, 8 o'clock. That's the reason why I got the heart attack. It basically stress, worry about this, worry about that. Plus the kids have been off school, and that's given anybody an heart attack.
Whatever Mick Hart believes about steroids, it's clear that something has taken its toll on the 47-year-old bodybuilder's health. And the evidence that these drugs lead to serious health problems is growing.
When you take very large amounts of steroids, the health risks are obviously going to be greater than people who take a modest amount for a short period of time. Certainly, people who take very large amounts of steroids over prolonged periods of time are very likely to have much more problems with hardening of the arteries because of the adverse effects of the steroids on cholesterol levels. So my guess as a scientist would be that men who are using very large amounts of steroids are quite likely to have an elevated incidence of heart disease, of heart attacks and strokes when they get into their 40s and 50s and 60s.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's former training partner, Steve Mihalik, is not in denial about the effects of steroids.
When you take anabolic steroids, they take over running your body. The problem is, it's very difficult to come off, and the only way you come off is if tragedy struck. And that's what happened to me, or else I still probably would have been on.
Steve first knew something was wrong when he started passing blood in his urine. It was his liver dissolving.
Right for sonogram, we found a grapefruit-sized tumor and three golf ball-sized tumor on my liver. I went up in the hospital, I went cold turkey. The physical symptoms were I had extreme pain because of the liver tumors. Every joint in my body was hurting beyond imagination. My body shrunk down from 220 pounds to about 146 pounds. I almost lost my mind. I wound up in a mental institution. It's just a horror story.
And then came the finale.
You plant one little tiny seed of anabolic steroid in your body, even one cycle of steroids, one. That seed grows, embedded in every cell in your body over years and years and years until it's full-blown something. Tumor, cancer, prostate, infertility. That's what happened to me. I thought I was over it, I got off this stuff. But no, it was still playing its dirty tricks on me. And what do I get? I get a massive heart attack. Right? Because the steroid time bomb was still kicking. Even though your muscles on the outside are big, on the inside you are rotting and you're rusting. And this is what happened to me. Boom, rushed me to the hospital. Bam, heart surgery. This happened to a lot of bodybuilders, the heart surgery. I'm fine, finally get over that. Got it all clear, I'm all done. Boom, I get hit with a stroke. Okay? And this is all from the steroids that rots the arteries slowly from the time when I first took them in my early 20s.
By the time Steve Mihalik's steroid journey was over, he was left with a testosterone level of a 12-year-old girl and testicles the size of peanuts. But he's lucky to be alive. So it seems is Arnie. Arnold Schwarzenegger took steroids, and like Steve, he's had heart problems, undergoing heart surgery in his early 50s. But will the health problems of past heroes serve as a warning for today's wannabe muscle men? Joe Middleton is at the start of his bodybuilding journey. He's prepared to do anything to get to the top. This is his first time among some of his heroes.
This is my first competition I've ever been to. Absolutely psyched. It's fantastic. Really can't wait for the show to start. Can't believe I'm actually here. So many big blokes around. Feel small compared to them, but absolutely brilliant. Tonight it's been fantastic. Just the feeling I've got sat there watching these blokes pose, fight off against each other for their title was just so motivating.
Joe might be young and he might be starting out, but he's not that green. He knows now that to get anywhere he'll be under pressure to take steroids.
At first, actually, to do with steroids, I was a bit naive. My dad always said to me that these blokes are on steroids and I didn't believe him. The more reading I'd done, the more I found out about it, and I realised that, yeah, they all did take steroids.
Joe's been honest with his parents, and they're worried.
I personally hope that he doesn't take that road. And as a parent, I'd be concerned that, the bad things that could happen to him, to actually get into that lifestyle. I don't know how it's going to affect him in the long term. What's going to happen to his body, when he has side effects, mood swings, and because you just don't, I just don't know.
There's something more satisfying than being the best, and if that means taking steroids, lots of tablets, to me it's worth it.
In the world of competitive bodybuilding, men's bodies are now well beyond the limit of what nature intended. And these surreal self-sculptures are still a magnet to young men everywhere. Incredibly, an estimated 5% of British men under the age of 30 have used steroids.
It seems to me that this preoccupation with male body image and the associated problem of steroid use is not going to go away anytime soon. I don't see any trend that is going to arrest this phenomenon over the next decade or two.
You don't need those steroids. All you need to do is hard work. What everybody has forgot to do was to do hard work. When I won Mr. USA and I won Mr. America, I never took one steroid. It wasn't until I trained for the Mr. Universe that I was an idiot that I finally took steroids and almost killed myself.
Today, for Steve Mihalik, All-American champion, the explosion in steroid usage is part of a very modern problem.
Here we go. We got drug generation. From the day you're born, you go to a pediatrician, you have a problem because you were drug. Turn on TV, what do you see? Drug for this. Drug for hair gain, drug for hair loss, drug for fat, drug for losing your weight, drug for diarrhea, drug for constipation. It's a drug for everything. This is what the kids are getting, this generation. Drugs, 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 drugs. Now the kid's 17, 18 years old, he wants to have muscles. What does he do? He takes drugs. Because this is what we taught him. And we got to now try to unravel it and say, hey, slow down, wait a minute. Maybe the pill isn't the answer, and maybe the now is not the solution. How about taking some time, get back to the old ways of doing things, you're going to live longer and have more success.
Mick Hart, advocate of safe steroid use, denies that anything he's done to his body has had an impact on his failing health.
Let's take steroids out of the game. Great. Are we going to save the world? Nah. Let's take smoking out of it. Yeah, we'll save the world. Let's take all these druggies out and bury them. Yeah, that's saved the world. Let's take coffee away. That's going to stop everybody shaking. You know, that's fine. That's an ideal world. Then we can all wear nice little hats and walk around holding hands.
I would predict that over the next 10 years or the next 20 years, you and I will see a lot of cases and hear a lot of reports of one or another major bodybuilder or other athlete who developed heart disease or a stroke at a seemingly premature age, and that this, in many instances, will probably have been attributable to steroid use.
And what of Greg Valentino, the ultimate in steroid-pumped bodybuilding? He paid a terrible price, but he's lived to tell the tale. And he still enjoys telling that tale.
Look at that. I let the needle hang. Richie, look at this. Come here. I let the needle just, like, stick in there and then hang. Oh, man. I love it, though. It's fucked up. You saw this tape before? Rich, you saw this?
No, what the hell is that?
That's me. Look, I'm draining a hematoma out of my arm. Look. Wait, look. By the end of the tape...
Oh, man, you're lucky you didn't die.
Bro, look at that shit. Look. Wait, look at the needles all bent like a fish hook.
Oh, gosh.
Watch, I'm talking to Bob. See, I'm on the phone. I'm talking to Bob, Obi.
I was on the phone with him while he was doing that. And I said, Greg, you gotta go to the hospital.
Nah, I wasn't scared. It was stupid. I was laughing, right? And he's going to me, what are you laughing at? You should be going to the hospital. Look at all that shit.
That must have been local.
Look at the pus floating on top of the blood.
Oh, gosh.
Look at that shit.
It looks like an amputee.
It looks like a fucking a ball sack without balls. It looks like a breast implant.
Bob, tell him how lucky he is he's alive.
That's when I was happily juiced up.
Me. We would have came and dragged him.
That was fucked up.
Carried him.
That was really fucked up. I was fucked up. It was really gross. You guys like that, huh? Have a good one, fellas.
Thank God.
3,000 miles away, can Greg's steroid horror story warn off wannabe muscle man Joe?
Oh, how can you do that to yourself? Oh, my God.
I mean,
no,
I don't like this.
I mean, he's shoving that in his muscle, and it's not hurting him because it's not real. I know it's not,
but it is real, Joe. I'm sorry.
There's limits to how far we would go. I would take steroids eventually.
I don't want to know that, Joe.
I would never take it to an extreme like that where he's having to drain his muscle. I mean, to be honest, I got quite a high pain threshold, but sticking a needle that long in my muscle, straight through it,
and continuously doing it, draining fluid out of it, I mean, I don't think I'd want to do that no matter what. How much money I could get?
No. Good.
I'm still going to be the biggest and the best, just not that kind of freakishly weird big.
But you could end up like this, Joe. Yeah. I just, as a mum, I could not sit by and let you do it. This is really, really scary to actually think that Joe might end up like this. The thought really frightens me, to be honest. I don't know.
I'll don't start crying.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe, but I can't shift anymore.
I'm not here looking to be, like, don't look at me as a role model. Because I am no role model. What I had to do to get that, I don't know if I could ever do it again. I don't think it's even in me to do it again. You know, I had to, you know, take a beat and sit in a jail cell. I mean, I had to do a lot, you know. I had infections that almost killed me, you know. I had to watch my girlfriend die, you know. I lost my family, lost my children, lost, you know, made, you know, $1 million, lost $1 million. So I sold my soul to the devil. And I had to also bend over when it was time, and it was time for him to collect. I stuck my ass in the air and I told him, be gentle.